Welcome to The Watchers, a brand new show brought to you by and powered by the Andrew Cast. Who are The Watchers? It is myself and Greg. We are two dudes who are obsessed with cinema. The show is a deep dive into a film of our choice where we break down for you, the viewer, or the listener. This week's film is Parasite. Parasite is a South Korean black comedy thriller film directed by Bong Joon-ho, who also wrote the film's story and co-wrote the screenplay with Han Jin-won. The film stars a family and follows a poor household scheming to become employees of a much wealthier family by posing as unrelated, highly qualified individuals. Greg, talk to me. What'd you think of this?
If I was going to be realistic, like I told you before, I mean, I'd say it's a top five movie I've seen in my lifetime.
Top five ever.
Yeah, it's in there. I don't know where I'm putting it. I can't put it at a five. I can't put it at one. But it's if I had to make a list of one of the, you know, the best movies I've seen, it's up there.
And you know me personally, even yourself, we are both Christopher Nolan and Quentin Tarantino junkies.
Fanatics.
But this film, and I've only seen it one time, I've only seen one playthrough, it's top three all time for me.
And I can't even argue with that. Like, I could see why you would say that.
And you know me, I love horror movies. And when I first saw the trailer of this film, I actually thought it was going to be a horror film. So going into it, I was expecting, you know, a horror thriller, as anyone would if you saw the trailer. But
right, I mean, from the trailer, I just, to be honest, I didn't know what to expect. It kind of gave you that feel, like something could become, you know, get a little weird.
Right.
But the trailer didn't give too much away, and I think that was a great, great choice by them not to put too much into the trailer.
And the fact that the film turned to be hysterical, like it was a comedy, like a pure comedic film, but when it got serious and when it got to the nitty, it was unreal.
Yeah, for those, I mean, before we get deep into it, I mean, let's just put that out there now. Like, there is spoilers in this. So if you haven't seen Parasite yet, turn this off and come watch it when you're done.
Right.
Or listen to it when it's done, because it's we're just going to be able to make you appreciate the film that much more.
And for the next unprecedented amount of time, this will be a full deep dive into the film, and there will be full-fledged spoilers.
Yeah, so spoiler. Don't. Turn it off if you didn't see the movie.
What about that fucking ending?
It's something that literally when I left the theater, I couldn't stop thinking about it. I went home and had to tell everybody about the movie without spoiling anything, of course, because I wanted my family to see it so much. But I was thinking about that movie for the next couple days after I've seen it.
And we previously were talking about, like, we were going back and forth on the ending. But I really think that he saves and buys the house and he saves his dad.
Like,
It is up for interpretation, but for some reason, I just don't think, because we never saw a vision or a foreshadow in the film. The only time we saw a foreshadow was constantly with The Rock.
I guess. Yeah, you could say that.
So the only type of little giveaway that they had was Rock, was that The Rock was going to get used at some point in the film. That's the only thing you knew was going to happen. This Rock was being used for something. It had too much significance, too much screen time for just a Skyler's Rock. So when since this is a Korean film, no one be offended, but I do not know every character's name or how to pronounce the names correctly, so I'm going to say son, daughter, mom, and dad to make this easy.
That's cool.
So when the son was talking to us, the viewer, writing his diary, the events that happened in that flash forward was almost too bittersome and too bittersweet for what had happened. And I think that we're going to see that's actually going to happen to be the outcome for if there ever was like a sequel or if it was just going to continue.
Well, I mean, before we even talk about that, let's just explain. I mean, mostly if you're still listening right now, you've seen the film.
Right.
So, I mean, so let's just go through what we wanted to talk about and what we wanted to kind of shed the light on. First thing, like, I was thinking about was the acting. What did you think about the performances from all of them?
So my favorite performance was by the daughter.
Jessica.
Yes. So Jessica, her American name and her actual real name, I'm not sure how to pronounce it correctly. But Jessica is with the name that she told the family. Dude, the fact that she was a genius through and through, like
she was.
And the fact that she knew how to print the fake diploma, she knew how to do the hack into the system, like everything was to a T. And the fact that she watched a YouTube video on art therapy right before she went to the house, that was genius.
And I mean, for me, my favorite was the dad. He was the deepest character, I think, in the movie by far.
So do you think he was deeply flawed, or just like overall he was that character?
See, you can argue that he was flawed, and you can argue that the behaviors he did in the towards the end of the film are, I guess you could say, wrong. Mm-hmm. But when you look at a morality standpoint, I don't think he was wrong with anything he did. But the best thing about him is that you never, like, it's weird, like, even in the scenes where you see him being, like, serious and, like, real dead serious about things, like, you never know what he's thinking. That's what I liked about him. He was, like, he was unpredictable.
Right.
And as the movie progressed, you know, as he started to feel that this rich family, like, as he started to feel that they kind of, like, were so oblivious to the fact that other people live like shit on a daily basis.
Right.
And how they constantly ridicule him, you know, like the part when they're under the table and he's talking about his stench, the part when he's in the car and the girl has to roll the window down and cover her nose.
Right.
And then the set off point was the ending, you know, when he rolls the guy over to get the car keys, what does he do? The guy holds his nose again.
Yeah.
And then right when he sees that, dude, he loses it. And I just think that it was literally like the writing, obviously, I mean, Bong Joon-ho did the right thing with the writing, but he set him up for it. But the way he acted it out and the way he made it so believable.
Right.
The dad is my by far my favorite character in the film. But I think all the performances were great. Like, I don't think, I mean, I'll ask you, do you think any of them had a bad performance?
I don't think no one had a bad performance, even down to the family, like the rich family, the mom and the dad, like they played their character like perfectly what they had to do, like a paranoid mother who doesn't like trust much, and rightfully so, like, and then the dad who is just a hard-working man who's came from the ground up, gave his family everything due to his hard work, like he played that character well. And even the housemaid, the original housemaid, like, and then when shit hit the fan in the second half of the movie, and then you saw, that's when everyone's character started revealing who they really are. The wealthy mother was kind of stuck up and a little selfish, and she only cared about her image and what people thought of her. People like, look at my nice home. I'll come in. My son's birthday party has to be the best birthday party. And then the dad, who's like oblivious, like besides his own family, he's just oblivious to everything else that's going on. and then it turns out that the housemaid, she is psycho, like not psycho, but like she would do anything to make sure her husband was okay.
But as we all would,
as we all would, like, but at the same time,
you can relate with her. You know, right. Even though that she was, you know, caused problems for our, you know, the family, our characters in the film, I still sympathized with her and her husband. Like, I never looked at them as the bad people, to be honest with you.
It's almost hard to because of the situation that they were in. But at the same time, there was no one in that whole movie that was a good person, technically.
Right. I mean, that's we'll talk about that when we get to the themes, but like that's like the whole sense that I get from it. I get that, like, no matter how you look at the film, you can basically pick and choose a character and put them in, you know, you can basically swap them out and any of them can be the bad guy.
Right.
And that's what I liked about the film so much, but we'll talk about that. But so, I mean, in summation, if you care about acting performances, you know, and then those, you know, it's top notch. And for a film where you can't even, you know, I mean, we don't speak South Korean, where you can't even understand what they're saying, but you just know that the actors are so good at what they do that you can get the information they're trying to convey. Yep. Just by their performance.
And it gets to a point where, and I've said this about any type of film with subtitles, once you get through the awkwardness of having to go you're training your eyes to read as fast as you can, then back to the scene, you get to a point where you can kind of see the scene playing out and read the subtitles at the same time. You're not missing anything.
It's a skill. It's an acquired skill.
And it takes time. And I think people do need to know that when you're watching a subtitle film. But also at the same time, you shouldn't be discouraged from watching things with subtitles.
Definitely not.
Because there's so many different films out there from different languages that some people slept on. That's why I love when the director said at the Golden Globes, he was like, you know, if people could just get over the half an inch white bottom of the screen and just read, then there would be so many different movies that begin awards at the Golden Globes. And he's right. Like, any award that Parasite is nominated for, honestly, it's a hard argument to say they shouldn't deserve it.
I can't argue with it. Like, you know what I'm saying? I can't argue with you about it because it's literally, I don't think it's flawed. I don't think there's any flaw in that film. Like, I think it's one of the hardest 10s I've ever seen.
Right.
I mean, just get that out of the way now, our rating. Like, it's a 10. That's a 10. Perfect 10 looks like.
Yeah. Like, that movie's an
A+, a 10, 100 out of 100, whatever you want to give it. But that's what it is.
And the runtime was just perfect. It was like, there was no, I didn't feel like anything was rushed.
I was never bored either.
Yeah, I wasn't bored. And I don't know if that's because it's the subtitles and it makes you pay attention, or, but still, like, the writing was just so great. Even that little bit that I really appreciated, and it was like a 10-second scene, when the son and daughter are outside the rich family's house, and she's like, wait a minute, hold on, let's go over it again. And they made that song to memorize who they were.
Yeah, the jingle.
The little jingle. And I was just like, what? It was catchy. And I was thinking, I was like, it was just catchy how they did that.
Yeah, and if you really think about it, like, and I'm being like, let me just say this to put this out there. I'm not biased. We're not biased with this film.
Right.
It's not like we have a love for this director. I didn't know who he was to this film. And apparently he's made some great movies that I actually want to go back and watch. But like, this is no bias. This is just coming from two guys who've watched a ton of movies. And
right.
This is an excellent film.
The funny thing is, so I didn't know this guy, or at least I didn't recognize the director's name, but I've actually seen a lot of his films, and you've probably seen one of them. He directed Snowpiercer.
Nope, never seen it, but I've heard of it. And it's been on TV before, and I've scrolled past it. But
and he's also directed The Host, which is one of my favorite monster movies ever. It's from 2006. And then I went back and watched it, and I realized he used the same father in that movie, in this movie.
Really?
Yeah, it's the same. And it's almost an identical character. Like, it pays off so well.
Huh. Well, I know this, and I don't know about the people listening to this or you, but you might have been doing it, but this is definitely opening the door for me to watch more foreign films.
Definitely.
They're undeniable at this point now. Like, there's another movie that came out this year, something about, like, a French girl who's a painter. And it's getting, like, rave reviews. And it's making me want to check out more foreign films. So
is it called The Painter? I forget the name.
No, I don't know. Nope, do not know what it's called. But if someone knows, let me know. But I have to look into it. But apparently it's a French film, and it's supposed to be amazing. So, but this has definitely opened my vision to foreign films.
I saw a French film earlier this year. It was called Climax. And we're not going to discuss too much into it because that's not what this episode's for. But it's up there for one of the best movies I saw of 2018. It might be top three. And that's like putting it up there with, what was it, Infinity War? That came out in 2018 or 2017, whatever year it was. Like, it's putting up there with those action movies because 2018 was action-packed with a lot of just Marvel and Disney all over the place.
Right.
But back to this film. So we got through the acting. The next, let's talk about the cinematography.
I don't know. What do you want to say about it? Because I'll tell you right now, it's amazing.
The shots, and especially when they would show the disparity between the wide shots of the poor people in their house, where it was under a restaurant, I think. It was they called it the basement, but I couldn't really tell what it was under, but it looked like it was next to a restaurant.
Yeah, they're called semi-basements.
And that it looked like the town drunk kept pissing on their doorstep, pretty much outside the window.
Right.
And when you saw how, and it's kind of funny because it was really disgusting where they lived, and the outside looked terrible. But at the same time, it was kind of like, I don't want to say beautiful, but it was like such a weird feeling looking at it, like how much chaos they had and how nice it looked to see that type of chaos. Because there's some areas in Asia or other parts of the world where there's so many people living on top of each other. There are these little sectors where it looks just like that. And how they shot it on film, I wonder if it was a set or if it actually was a on-site location. But even when it came down to the...
What, their house? Like their little town?
Yeah, that was little
a
town.
That was a built set.
Oh, so it was a built set.
Yeah, it was. But see, that's the thing. The fact that you have to question it just proves how good the set designer did.
The only time I felt like it was a built set was when they were running during the storm. That's when I was like, okay, this one has to be a built set because there's no way that... Just how the camera shots were going, I was like, it was kind of a camera trick. I saw one moment, I was like, I think this is green screen. When they were walking down the stairs and the camera was really far away, I was like, I think this is like green screen. And it was little camera tricks.
And that's the thing I wanted to talk about with like my main thing with the cinematography was the shot variety. The variety of shots he uses in this movie. Like
long, short.
He made the close-up so effective in this movie. And the reason it's so effective goes back to the acting. From how good the actors are at conveying emotion just through actions and facial expressions. Like, they were masterful at this, and it's a great way that he basically made the close-up shots so effective, and that was a big thing for me, because sometimes the close-up shots, you know, it's a close-up shot. Right. But depending on how it's used and the actors who are making it what it is, he used them so good. And he uses a variety of shots through the whole movie, and a lot of, like, overheads. And dude, one thing I'll talk about, the lighting. Dude, the lighting in the movie is great. Every time that you've seen there's literally parts of this movie where I was like, oh my god, like, look at that shot. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sitting there like, wow, that looks amazing. And it's because of those lighting effects that they get.
One of the best shots in the film, I thought, was when the rich husband whispered to his wife, and you saw her eyes kind of looking at the camera, and she like covers her mouth. Like, it was just, I don't know how to describe it. But it was, because we had no idea what they were talking about. But her face of the shock value and how the camera reacted to it, it was really clever. And also the wide shot when the poor dad was laying face down on the floor so he didn't get caught trying to get down the stairs. And the rich parents were on the couch looking outside. And they were blinded because they couldn't see him because their son was shining a flashlight.
Right.
Dude, that was so funny.
If you had to pick your number one scene in the movie, what would it be?
If I was to pick my number one scene in the movie.
How about not scene, moment. Like a moment. Like one moment that the cinematography made so good.
The feel of the basement. Once we got the basement reveal and how like they were so scared to go down there because they had no idea what was down there. And the housekeeper just ran down like nothing was wrong. And I was like, oh, just come this way. Like, oh, I just had to feed him. Has he been fed? And he's, like, yelling. And we got to see, like, how dark it was down there. I was like, what, dude? Like, that moment, because I was like, I had no idea this was going to happen. Me, personally, I thought the housewoman was going to kill them. Because I was like, I'm waiting for this to turn to a horror movie. When is this going to happen? And then when she was at the door in the camera, and it was, like, grainy, couldn't really see because of the rain. And then when they did the shot of the security camera, I was like, oh, she cut the cable. I was like, she cut the cable. So she's about to, like, kill them for, like, she knows something's up. And then it just went somewhere I did not expect at all.
Yeah, I'd say my favorite little tiny part or scene in the movie was when the end of the movie, when, you know, the party's going on, and he takes the rock and he goes to give it to him as a peace offering, I assume, in the basement.
Right.
Dude, when he dropped the rock, and it tumbled down the stairs, making the loudest noise you could possibly make. And it hit the ground, and you see his reaction, because he knows he just completely blew it.
Right.
Because now he knows, the guy down there knows he's coming down. Like, right. I literally felt his heart pounding in my seat. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, because I can imagine what it would be like if that just happened. Like now, I'll be honest, I wouldn't even have went down now. You know what I'm saying? And he still went down there and he paid for it in the long run, you know?
Right.
But that just the way he was able to create that sense of fear in me as a watcher is just it was just so great. That was one of my favorite parts.
When the guy dropped the rock on top of his head, I actually I winced because it like the camera didn't play no trick. So I like he literally dropped on his head and you heard like the cracking of his skull and I was like, bro, that's heavy.
Yeah, you could feel the weight of the rock. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, you could feel the weight of the rock.
Yep.
Oh, that was so heavy.
I mean, yeah, in the cinematography department, like I said, flawless. I don't think there's anything you can knock them for.
And
even the soundtrack was great.
Yeah, and the sound design. The sound design of the film was really good, too. Like, it felt like it was such a rich experience. Just listening to it, because everything just sounded like everything had a place. Everything had a purpose. Every bit of sound in that film.
So, I mean, from that, you can just kind of move on. Like, you can move on right to the writing. I mean, from what we're talking about, I mean, people who are listening can get the sense that we loved it. Yeah. I think the story was flawless.
It's almost hard because I wish that we both felt polar opposite on it so that we could have a different of opinion. But this movie is... It's so hard to even think in a negative way. There's nothing wrong with it.
I don't think I can, and that's without being biased. But so, I mean, the writing's easy. It's amazing. Every scene, and the best part about it is that it's believable.
Yes.
This could really happen. You know what I'm saying? That's why the writing is so smart. Them swindling, you know, the whole thing with the peach fuzz and the maid being alerted to the peach.
Oh my god.
Like that who that I don't was, know how someone thinks of that. Like yeah.
And they just kept sprinkling it. Just sprinkling on it. Not that it would be like instant, but over time.
Right. And how the daughter decides to tell the mom that the bottom right of the kid's drawings is the schizophrenia zone. You know, pulls just makes that up and now she gets her to panic. Like it's literally genius about it's genius. It really is. Like I've never seen a story structured that way, and then the way he just flips it completely and turns it to a completely different vibe halfway through the movie and a different story basically. It was masterful. That's a guy who's in total complete of his craft.
And another part, like when they set up the other driver when she left the panties in his car, that was funny. But then that made me think, did the husband think that his wife was cheating on him?
No, because he basically says to her when he comes in, he's like, he's talking about the driver, and then he's like, does he, you know, is he a dirty guy? Like, is he a good guy? And I remember the wife tells him like, yeah, I thought he was a good guy. You know what I'm saying? And he said like, you know, a young man's sex life is not his business, but like, not in his car. I don't think he expected the wife to cheat at all. I don't think.
But
I think
about the part when they were hooking up? But then they started talking about it again.
They were role playing,
and I that's what Natalia said too. She said that they're role playing, but I was like, again, I was like second guessing a lot of things. I'm like, I do believe that they're role playing, but for the same, I don't know why it was just in me. Like, he knew, and she was just going with it, and I was like, I don't know. This is some fucked up shit. Like, this is some rich people shit that they just get bored and complacent. That they just role play and they. Like, dude, this guy got fired, and they were kind of not mocking it, but they were using the situation to give them pleasure.
It was strange, and that was an awkward scene to watch with my family. But it was it's necessary for some reason. It is. It just is.
And then now we have left is the themes. Like, what did you think the theme of the film was?
I want you to start off with this one. Because I have mine, but I want to hear what you think first.
So I thought that this was a South Korean spin on the tale of Robin Hood. About how it's different in a little way, but how the rich take from the poor to compensate for the other poor. So it's different in a way because the family wasn't taking the money that they were getting from the rich people and giving it amongst the poor, but they put themselves in positions that they would all benefit from, more so than the rich people.
So in a way, so you're saying, so it's a study of the class differences.
Yes.
It's a breakdown of how drastically different two classes of people are: the really, really rich and the dirt poor.
Yes.
I mean, that's, yeah, on the surface, 100%. 100%, it really is, because, and you can, it literally, like, it's so fried. You can really, like, empathize with the family and even the housemaid and her husband. Like, these people have nothing, like,
Right.
absolutely nothing. And the way I look at it is basically, if I had nothing like that too, I would be scheming as well, you know?
Right.
And it's like I would do anything to not be in that situation.
But even at the same time, it's like I felt like I was also trying to say like how oblivious the wealthy can be, like with their comments. Like it was almost kind of like you got to treat people right no matter what classification that you belong to in life. You got to treat people accordingly because one, they didn't know that there was a bunker in the house and that someone was hiding in their bunker from loan sharks for years. They didn't
Right,
know about that.
they would never even understand why someone would do that. They don't have that, they don't have the capacity to understand someone
Yeah,
else's situation.
and they also don't like the obliviousness of not realizing that you have a freaking nuclear bunker in your house. Like I'm pretty sure if you would know every detail, if I asked you to name every detail of your house, you could close your eyes and name everything.
Right.
And whereas the poor people just like when you don't have much, you know how to get it. It's the grind, it's the hunger. They knew what they wanted to get, and they would stop at nothing to get it.
Right, and yeah, the class divide is probably the most obvious theme in the movie. Like, if you're watching it, you have to understand that, you know?
Now, would you, can you classify this as a horror film?
No.
Why not?
I don't think that it has enough elements of a horror film to be considered a horror film, or like the typical stereotypical horror films that we're used to nowadays. I would say this is a I'd say it's a thriller.
But what about the fact of having strangers in your house not portraying who they said they are?
It's kind of a little bit like Us, you know, the movie Us, like with the doppelgangers.
Right.
'Cause you think about it, it's the same family makeup: son, daughter, husband, wife. And completely different ends of the spectrum. One family is living what the other family wishes it could, you know?
Right.
So, I mean,
Oh,
you can
that
look at
is
it like
very
that,
similar.
and Us is a horror film. That's a horror film at its core.
Right.
So, I mean, I think you can actually, in my opinion, it's up for interpretation. I look at it as a satire, a social satire, and it turns into a thriller. But, you know, people could go about it any way they want.
Do you think this movie is going to win Best Picture?
I do,
Really?
and the reason I think that is because of the, this is the theme that I pulled from it, right? So, think about the title, Parasite, right? Most people who've never seen the trailer, you've never heard about the movie. What do you think instantly? What comes to your head?
Disgusting, kind of scary, like you don't really know what it is. It's hidden, it's
Right.
undetected.
Or
Like,
it's like a, or you thinking in the literal sense, like a parasite, like something that's gonna get you sick, something that's gonna kill someone. You know what
this
I'm
could
saying?
suck the life out of you.
But you just described perfectly what a parasite is,
Right.
right? It's a leech, basically. You know what I'm saying? It's something that, it's not good. It's bad. You've described it perfectly. But this is what I've got from the movie, right? Either one of those groups, right? Whether it's the husband and the maid who you know, the bunker, who live in the bunker, whether it's the rich family or whether it is the poor family, the main family. Ready for this? Each one of them can be the parasite, depending on how you look at it.
Right.
So the poor family, right? They're parasites because look at them. They went and skeeved their way like little cockroaches, right, into this family's life, this rich family's life, and it literally just milking them for their what they've earned, you know, the money
Right.
they've accumulated, taking advantage of everything, their behavior, taking advantage of the wife's simpleness, as they call it in the movie, right?
Right.
That's a parasitic trait, what they're doing, right? Now
Right.
think of the people in the bunker. What is she doing? She's working for them, right? She's getting a paycheck, but what is she doing as well? She's giving her husband free housing, right? He's living in the bottom, and she's using the food which she claims she bought from the wages, right? she pays for the food to give to him, but I don't believe it because the kid had fainted, right? The kid fainted one night because he came out to get something,
bro.
Right?
That
probably
scene, that scene
food.
Was terrifying.
It was. It was creepy. His little eyes popping up.
Yeah,
but
and
that's
it's all
the whole thing.
Slow-mo.
So,
ugh.
Yeah, he clearly steals food and stuff like that when it's possible, you know?
Yeah.
That's a parasite right there. It's leeching off of what they earn. And then think about the family, the rich family. They're parasites in their own way. They live such a great life, but they make their wealth on the back of poor people and working class people. The people that are out buying the stuff that the dad's making at his AR company, and the people, the hardworking people like the Kims, right, the main family that are doing these odd jobs, these jobs that most people don't want to do for them.
Right.
They're a parasite because they're making money off the system. Just like in our country today, like in the United States, how the capitalists make so much money off of our system. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They exploit it and they make the money. So that's what I like about the movie as well, because that parasite title, it can be thrown around to any single person, any group of people in the movie. And that was, to me, that was awesome. And I think that that's like a sort of like a theme that's on the surface almost as the same as the class divide, but it's not one that people talk about as much, at least that I've found.
Yeah, man, just more people need to see this film. It's literally a work of art. It's going to be talked about for at least in the next decade. Like, even though it was last decade, this movie will be used as for film pieces. It'll be used for even more think pieces. Like you said, like, you hit everything on the head about this film. This film is, in every sense of the word, a perfect film. And
the use of ethics and morals.
And that's
how
what it came down to,
yeah,
at the end.
Right.
How the father's morals and what he stood for overweighed having security, overweighed having a steady job, overweighed having income. What he knew what it was like to be poor. He lived a poor life. And to see someone disrespect someone else because of his stench, because that man had nothing. There was nothing he could do about his stench. He's hiding so he doesn't die. And when his honor came in, he understood. He knew what he had to do.
And after the first viewing, I think we were texting about it, and you kind of brought that up to me. Like, I loved how that you're like, I love how the dad's morals kicked in at the end. And I really thought about that. And I went into watching it the second time because I did buy it. It's on Fandango now. You can buy it. But I bought it and watched it. Please, if you buy it in 4K if you have the means. I highly recommend it.
Always 4K if you can get
always,
4K.
Yeah. If you can afford it, or if you have a player, please do it. But the way that I watched the movie, looking at the dad, his subtle hints, that's why I like him as my favorite character. But yes, the morals and the ethics that he has are so strong that, like you said, he threw away everything for it. And you see it at the end, right? His daughter just got stabbed by some crazy person, right?
Yep.
She's on the ground bleeding out. The wife, it just got done fighting the dude, right? The wife slashed up.
Yep.
He looks over, right? The son is draped over his girlfriend, I guess you could say, his back with his, you know, a severe brain damage with blood rushing out of his head, right?
Yep.
His life's falling apart right in front of him. All right? And these are people that are working for this rich family, right?
Yep.
And what do they do? They're only worried about
getting
escaping
out.
The house to go take the kid to the hospital. He only fainted. That's all he did.
Now,
I mean, I can't tell that
fair,
he didn't have a...
We do know that he was suffering from seizures.
You're right. That's what I said. He either fainted or he's having a seizure, but there was no sign, no visual representation that he was, like, indeed having a seizure, you know?
Yep.
So that's my thing. And what do they do? Not one person steps in to help.
Oh,
they
everyone at the party. There was about 40
die.
People there.
That's what I'm saying. Not one person steps in to help. And I think the dad realized that at the end. He looks around, he sees everyone running.
He didn't
want to
be a part
about,
of it anymore.
And he could help. The wife's wrestling with the guy. The rich dad could have helped. He's standing there. All he's thinking about is, throw me the car keys. You could have easily took this guy out quick and had enough time to still get your kid to the hospital.
Yep.
And the fact that he didn't do it, and the fact that he just illustrated about how much he only cares about himself, and that's the class divide right there. The rich care about the rich, and they do not care about the hardworking, everyday, lower-class people. And that, at the end, is what blew my mind, and I think that's the morals and ethics that Bong Joon-ho kind of put into the movie it's astounding. And that, for that reason, it's literally, like I said, it's one of the best films I've seen.
I want this movie, like I already said, I want this movie to win Best Picture. And we have, over the next couple of weeks, we will be talking about the other pictures that it, are nominated against it. I find a really hard case to have any of these films beat it. However, the next film that we're going to be talking about, eventually, either next week or in 2 weeks, it will be 1917, and we both have very strong opinions on that film for what it achieved. And I think out of all the films on that list, that could possibly be the only one that could rob it, rob Parasite, and I wouldn't be that upset.
I wouldn't be at all. I think you could either, literally, you could go both ways.
But if any other film takes home Best Picture other than Parasite or 1917, then to me that just shows that the board, the Oscars, they do not care. They don't understand impact. They don't understand, like, these films mean nothing. Because, and again, that's just going to put Parasite and other foreign films showing that, oh, it's a foreign film, it can never be the best film. That's not the case. This film has proved that just even though it is a foreign film, it is the best film.
It by far. I think by far, it's the best film of the year when it comes to all the other contestants besides 1917. Right. I would put 1917 in my opinion, if I was making a list, I'd put 1917 like a centimeter under it. A centimeter right. under it. Maybe a little bit more than a centimeter just because 1917 doesn't have the cultural impact that it has, that Parasite has, or like right. the deep meaning that Parasite has. But we'll get into that when we talk about 19. I don't want to dwell on it too much. But just know that, I mean, those of you who've seen it, who stuck with us this whole time, you know how good the film is. And hopefully by listening yes. to us break down this stuff, you'll have a greater appreciation of why we liked it so much. And hopefully you'll watch it a couple more times and it'll become like a cult classic, a movie that you'll show to your family and show to your kids one day. And that's really what this movie is. The legacy will live on so much longer than just being the movie of the year for 2019. This is a movie that film students and people who care about cinema are going to like for literally the end of time.
There is something to learn here. So if you haven't seen Parasite, please go see Parasite. If it's still in theaters wherever you are, or if you're able to rent it, or if even you're able to buy it and you have some extra cash to spend on the 4K edition, please, we recommend this movie, and I can't stress it enough. This movie needs to be seen.
And if you stuck through this entire podcast and you haven't seen the movie, shame on you. You just ruined one of the best movies ever.
And so, please go see it.
I feel bad,
but please go see it. Anything else, Greg? Anything else we need to cover?
That's it for this week.
So that's episode 1 of The Watchers. We'll be back hopefully next Sunday. I'll be on vacation. I'll be back into the country next Sunday. And what do we tackle on that? Is that going to be The Lighthouse or is that going to be 1917?
Oh my God, we're going to do 1917 just because it's, you know, it's hot in the press right now. Lighthouse kind of went under the radar.
It did.
I kind of went under my radar as well. I wish I would have seen that movie in the theaters, but I didn't get the option to. I liked it so much, I bought the Blu-ray.
It's actually better that you didn't see it in theaters because how the film shot in the aspect ratio, it would resonate on the film, on the screen with the sound, but the picture, I feel like a lot of people would have been bitching because there would have been a lot of dead space on the big ass like 70 millimeter screen, whereas if you watch it on TV, it's a little bit different.
Right,
it's a perfect TV movie, I would say.
Right, and we'll, like I said, we'll get to that as well after 1970, but just so everyone knows going forward, the format of this podcast is just going to be, we're just two guys that like talking about movies, you know, and I don't have a lot of people to talk about them with. Sheldon's the only guy that I can really go deep into the movies with. So it's just, when you're listening to us, you're listening to true passion, people who really just enjoy watching movies. And we're going to break down, and every time we do it, we're going to be doing a movie. We'll be talking about one specific movie. And maybe there'll be times in the head, maybe when the Oscars come around, we'll do like an Oscar podcast, something like that. But, you know, there's no telling what exactly we'll do. But we're looking to break down a specific film every time. So, and if you're going to keep listening, you know, just make sure that you realize that we're doing spoilers. All right. So that's what we do. We go deep into it. So make sure that you watch these movies before you click on them. We don't want anything spoiled for anyone. That's the worst.
Right. So thank you for listening. If it's on, we still have to figure out what platform it's going to be on, but it will be available. It'll be available very soon. Greg, as always, thank you. And Sheldon, until the next one.
Take it easy, my guy.
Later.